Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner, where I'm delighted to welcome today goalkeeping coach Stevie Woods, assistant coaches John Carver and Stephen Reid, and of course the manager, Steve Clark. We've got to start with the manager, of course, Steve. Thank you guys all for joining me. I would love to do a bit more of an introduction, but I think I would rather leave that to you, Steve, to tell me a little bit about your team you've got here and just how well you guys work together.
Well, this is what I ended up with. I'm not saying they were all first choice, but there you go. I actually got Woodsy off the scrap heap because he'd been sacked. So after Alex left, the last team, the whole team sort of left as on group as normally happens, but I managed to persuade Woodsy to come back and join the fold again. Good experience, terrific goalkeeping coach, and I think some people quite like him. Normally the goalies. But no, he's been great for me, good experience, and it was a little bit of continuity for the previous regime. Stephen I've known since we worked together at West Brom. Stephen was a player in those days. Played some of the games, didn't play all the games. Probably blames the manager for that one. But with someone I got to know well, we had a few good conversations. He kept telling me he wanted to get into coaching. He wanted to retire. I managed to persuade him to stay in the game a little bit longer. He went out to, he left West Brom, went in, and a year with Sean Dyche at Burnley. But I'd always said that if I got the chance, I'd bring him in. So when I got the job at Reading, Stephen came along as coach to assist myself and Kevin Keane. And he must have done okay because I brought him into the Scotland job when I got that as well. So that's the story with Stephen. John is a long story, really. From a long time ago, we worked together. When I stopped playing, I went to Newcastle to work with Ruud Gullit. It was my first step into coaching. John was at the club at the time working with the academy, the younger group. And when Ruud and I went in there, we had a look at the coaches that were around. Good coaches were there, a couple of Scotsmen. Alan Irvine was there, Tommy Craig was there. But Ruud wanted someone with a connection to Newcastle, the club, and they don't come any more Geordies than John.
That's a fine out at the moment.
Well, yeah.
So I brought, obviously I had Alex Dyer in. Yeah. Alex was my assistant at Kilmarnock. Fortunately for Alex, he got the Kilmarnock job, which he should have got immediately after I left, but he had to wait a little spell. But he got the job, and that meant really that it's difficult for a manager, I think, to come in and help. So I needed someone who was available, out of work, and John fitted the bill because he'd been out of work for a couple of years.
Available. And available.
And I knew when I phoned him up, he would want to come in and help. And listen, he's always been a good coach. We've kept in touch over the years. We've always sort of met up reasonably regularly. We always discuss ideas. No matter who was working or who was out of work, we'd try to support each other. Because when you're out of work, it's a lonely time as an out of work football coach. So we've always kept in touch. And I had no doubts that John would come in and help the group. So here we are, manager and coaches.
Here we are. Well, that's all my research recently done for me there, Steve. Thanks for that. No, it's such a good balanced coaching staff team, it seems to me, looking on. John, you're the newest of the setup, so it'd be great to turn to you first. You and Steve do go way back, and I'm making sure to speak nice and slowly for you.
I can understand you, it's not a problem. Yeah, we go back a long way, but it was good when I got the call from Steve to get off the scrap heap, because I have been on there for 2 years, and it's been a long, long period of time out of work. But when he gave me the opportunity, I think the most important thing was, I actually said to him, look, when I come up there, I just want to fit in. I want to be part of the group. I knew a little bit about Stephen. I didn't know too much about Woodsy, but I'd seen him many times on TV, warming those goalkeepers up at Celtic. So I was looking forward to coming up and meeting the guys, and they made it easy for me when I arrived here. You know, I didn't have to get to know anybody. They made me feel part of the fixture and fittings, and it certainly helped having that first camp where we got off to a good start, and things just moved on from there. So it's good to be here. There is a good mix. We've got the younger version, we've got the older version, and we've got Woodsy. So I think it's a good balance. I think, as you can tell, we all get on well. And like I said, they made me feel really part of it straight away, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Like Kevin Keegan once said, yeah. I will love it.
Exactly. Stevie, I'll come to you next. Steve touched on the continuity aspect of you obviously being here at the previous regime. I wasn't sure if the continuity was just Steve, Stevie, Stephen, or what it was, but it certainly fits the bill. Have you settled, obviously, in from transitioning from with Alex into...
Yeah, I think I had an hour where I was sacked by Scotland, and then Ian Maxwell phoned me back and said, listen, just hold off on that a minute, because we might want you to come back. So I think deep down he wanted the three Steves put together, so that was his plan. The continuity, it's really important, because when you have all new faces and it's all new, you need to know a little bit about the players that you're working with, and I was able to be that help, hopefully, so... I think that definitely helped.
And he came well recommended, because I'd been working with Billy Thompson at Kilmarnock, and Tomo speaks very highly of Steve.
Now I'm actually going to make myself, I'm going to change my name to Steve, just so I feel part of
just
it.
Just to fully fit in, yeah. Exactly, I'd agree with that. Stephen, over to you next. Steve touched on how far back you guys go from your playing days, of course. This experience of coaching alongside Steve must be invaluable for you, I can imagine. And how are you finding life at the Scotland national team?
No, it must be doing something right. Obviously, worked with the manager at Reading for probably not as long as
we should have done.
Not as long as what we would have liked, but to get this call again, I was sort of in between roles at the time. Left Palace, was having a bit of a sabbatical from the game, but this role fitted in perfectly, and another great experience. First of all, working alongside Alex as well, and Woodsy's been fantastic, and he's one of the few coaches, by the way, that can ping a ball like I can, because these two can't move in the warm-ups in the morning, so it's just me and Woodsy that can still ping a ball, so it's always nice to have a coach that
can
do that.
Yeah, it's not really fair, because I can still ping the ball, it can only go 20 yards now as opposed to 40 and 50 that you and Woodsy
ping. That's what I'm here, actually.
We can still ping the ball, but we just can't ping it very far. And you'll realise that when you get over 50 yourself, your muscles start to go a little bit. It's not quite as easy to knock the ball around.
Stephen and I could easily be replaced by a couple of ball launchers.
But it's been great with John coming in as well. Not worked together, you know, professionally since I've been coaching, but he has fitted straight in. Great stories, you know, like the Bobby Robson days and working with the gaffer and knowing the gaffer. The learning for me as a young coach with the manager and John and Woodsy as well. So I'm still young, still learning.
And
as
since
I go
John,
along.
Since John came in, Stephen's actually got another job. He's got a full time job now as well. So
yeah,
it's worked out great.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and I'm the only one. I'm the only one without a full-time job. So if there's anybody out there, I'm available.
That's exclusive.
But one of the good things about the manager is that he recognises the chemistry in the group. We had a fantastic chemistry with Alex Dyer, and when he left, we didn't know what we were coming into. And then John came in, and it's just continued. It's just continued and kicked on. He's filled Alex's boots, no problem at all, and added something to the group as well. So it's been fantastic management from Stevie.
No, it's important. Listen, you need a good mix. We live in each other's pockets for 10 days. You come away, it's always a very intense camp. So it's important that you get on with the coaching staff and the people around you, the people that are closest to you. And obviously these guys are my advisors as well. When I need somewhere to turn and I need some information or some advice, these are the guys that are turning, so if I haven't got a good relationship with them, we're going to struggle, aren't we?
I know, absolutely. You spoke about the kind of club background and when the paths first crossed. Steve, the differences between that club experience to international, what are the main challenges for a group of coaches going into international football?
I think it's similar to the challenges that you have with a group of players, in that at a club environment, you've got a longer period of time to drip feed, so you're working with them every day, they're getting a message every day, whereas you international, you've got 10 days where it's full on, and you don't really have time to breathe, to be honest, it's full on. So you need to know that everyone's on message, everyone's going to say the same thing. And then you all scatter off and you go your different ways. You know, John normally goes on holiday somewhere. Would you go back and work non-stop at Celtic and not get a day off? And Stephen doesn't go home anymore, he just goes down to Nottingham and works with Chris Hughton and Paul Trollope. So it's really important that when we come together, we're back on message. But between camps, is Stevie's got a full-time job. Obviously, Stephen now's got a full-time job. So.
And I haven't.
John still hasn't got a full-time job, but I'm sure that will be addressed in the future. And like I said, for myself, I go away, take 2 or 3 days just to recover for the camp, and then you're watching games and preparing for the next one. Although the gap from November to March is a particularly long one for an international manager. And when I spoke to Gareth Southgate about the job and whatever, he said you'll find that the November, December, January, February time really drags, and he was spot on. Yeah. And obviously on the back of that, break last year, COVID came in and we missed out the March and June game, so it was a long time before we got back in September, and it was great to get back on, back in camp, and obviously that's when John joined us as well, so it's been a decent couple of camps, and hopefully we can make it three in a row.
Absolutely. I guess, John, that's where it's really important that you do have this chemistry, because there are large periods of time when you're not together. So when you are together, it is just a case of back to business. Woody, you talked about that chemistry among the group. That's a great point, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we still do our work, although we're not actually getting paid for it, because we're doing our work watching games continuously. But it is good when we get together. The biggest thing I've found when you come together for international football
for is brilliant,
you have to react.
You're brilliant, yeah.
You have to react. Well, I've got to throw it in, haven't I? Well, sometimes you miss deadlines. Sometimes you miss a deadline. But for me, I've found you have to react. It's about reacting more than preparing. Obviously, you've got to prepare your team for it. But sometimes, like the last camp, we had to react to the COVID situation. You know, we might have to react to something different this time. So it's about reacting and being ready and being prepared. So you do your preparation before you get here. But once you get here, it's so important. I mean, when I first got here, my first 3 days, I didn't know what day it was, to be quite honest, because I usually have a nana nap in the afternoon. And I missed that because he had me watching videos till yon time at night from first thing in the morning. So you know, you try and find that little time to relax and put your head down. And I found that was the hardest thing I had to cope with.
Yeah, but you'd had 2 years of lying on the sofa.
Here's a man that doesn't get time off. How do you find that challenge, would you?
I think the challenge is that we've got so little time to impart so much information about the opposition, whereas at club football, you've got all week to prepare for maybe one game or two games, but we've got 3 games in 10 days, so it comes about so quickly. So the fact that we're all on the same page so quickly means that we can get the information over to the players. You can't waste a day with international football. You don't get a day off with international football, so it's so different. So it's good that there is a good chemistry. And even when John's on holiday, he's still working.
I do keep in touch with the guys when I go away, you know. I send the odd video and the odd picture of me pina coladas or actually, or
the group chat, but I take it, Stephen.
But the sessions as well. I know we probably have a bit of banter now about the gaffers, session planners. Or it's important that when the manager gives you the sheet to go and set up, that you know what you're setting up and you know the structure of it, you know the sort of sizes, because nothing worse than you looking at a sheet when you're coaching a different manager and you're looking at a sheet and you're what goes where. I think it's nice that the gaffer can, you know, give me, because John makes me carry all the mannequins and wheel the goals in, that you can just go out.
He's a little bit younger, isn't he?
But you can just go out and set it up pretty much exactly, because the gaffer will come out and move a cone literally 2 inches.
Sometimes. Not all.
Not as much now, but that's important. You can just come out.
You've earned my trust, really. Yeah. I only stepped
still,
out once this
still,
morning.
You know, when I started at Reading and I worked with him, yeah. I'd see him wander out and just pick a cone up and move it about that much.
Is that a small coaching technique, Steve?
No, it was normal, because it'd just be a little bit out of line and I'd just put it back in line. So
it's called OCD.
What's that?
OCD.
Oh, yeah. Perfectionism, I like that. But
I'm not sure it's perfectionism, but it's just to keep your coaches on their toes a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's a good technique to keep you on your toes.
I'm quite relaxed. I'm quite relaxed about it. Maybe when I was a little bit younger, I was thinking
I used to get the stare.
Now I have a little chuckle about it now.
Yeah, good. How are you finding life, obviously, now that you are in club football at Nottingham Forest and the two roles? Are you enjoying that?
It's full on. Yeah. It's full on. It's obviously, you can't not be known too often in the last 5 weeks, but I'm enjoying it. You know, unfortunately,
what he's trying to say is he's had one night at home since the last camp.
I can imagine.
Literally.
One night.
Since before the last camp, but gosh. I don't like talking about it. But no, it's good to be back involved. You can't commit as much of your time to, obviously, the national team in terms of the video and the phone calls and that, but you still get all the information you need. Still, obviously, John's involved now and taken on a little bit more since he has been, and we all stay in touch all the time, and still get to see the players' minutes and the lads behind the scenes let you know update the minutes that the players have played.
And so it means as well, I've got a fresh set of eyes in the Championship. You know, Stevens against opponents all the time. So any Scottish boys that are playing for the opposition, I'm always saying, how did they do? Did you notice them in the game? Did they do anything? And obviously he's working with Scott McKenna every week as well. So it's good. It's good to have somebody involved in the English Championship, because we've got a few boys down there as well. That's an important part of the job.
Yeah. I want to ask about this meet-up in particular, Steve. For you, obviously, we all know the magnitude of the game coming up on Thursday, and the games beyond that too. How important is it to have a good, calm, sort of level-headed atmosphere amongst your coach and staff in particular for something like this?
I think it's imperative, because players can smell straight away if you've got a little bit of tension, or if you're a little bit worried about an opposition. If players can smell that, they're all over it, you know. So for us, it's to know that we've prepared properly, which I think we have. We've still got a couple of days preparation into the game, but the messages that we're going to give the players will come from everybody. We'll all be on side, and the players will realise that we're actually quite confident. We don't go around shouting about it, but we're quietly confident. We've worked hard as a management team and as a group of players to make sure that when we came to this game, we were always being told, make sure you're ready for the playoff final. And I don't think we could be better prepared. I think the process of getting here has been a little bit rocky at times, a little bit up and down. You're always going to get the stick and the criticism, but we stayed on the same path, and we've given ourselves as good a chance as we could possibly have done, which is great.
It absolutely is. John, for yourself to come in, obviously, as we mentioned, fairly new to the setup compared to the others, into such a massive scale of fixtures as well. That's a great way to get back off the scrap heap, as you mentioned, and back into things, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's what you like. I said when I first got here on Sunday night, this is what you get involved in the game for games like this. The three games, you know, a chance to get into the final of the Euros, a chance to be top and qualify as leaders of the Nations League. That's what it's all about. The thing I will say is, from day one when I got here, the belief in the players believing in themselves now has grown massively. And they have to continue with that. But nobody's getting carried away. Nobody's going above their station. Everybody realises the job that we have to do. And the focus comes from the manager and the staff, making sure that we all remain focused and don't get carried away with what happened last month. Yes, what happened was great, but you have to look forward, and you have to look forward to the next game, and make sure we go into that game with the right attitude and application. And that's all we're asking. And if we go into that, again, with application and attitude being right, then we'll have a chance. And that's all we have to do. We give ourselves a chance.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I can only begin to imagine, how you were all feeling during the penalty shootout. I know how nervous and excited I was watching on. Stevie, from a goalkeeping perspective, the guys that you're working with, obviously Craig, now back on the scene as well, which is great to see. Just how good a crop do we have here from the goalkeepers you've worked with in your career?
I think the boys, that was the first time they'd seen Craig since he'd come back and been playing regularly. So, and I think they were all quite pleasantly surprised at the level he was at just now. David Marshall's been consistently excellent since we've brought him back into the Scotland squad. And the boys that have come in and stepped up to be number three or number four have all consistently performed and made sure that training's at a really, really high standard. So I think we've got a good crop. I spoke to the manager previously about how we fill the number three slot. And what we did was we decided recently to have a continuity from the 21s up to try and show that there's a progression there. And we had Robbie McCrory up, and he did really, really well for us. Had we had friendlies this month, we'd maybe have brought up Ross Doohan from the 21s to have a look at him as well. So we know that there's good young goalies out there, but we've got some great experienced goalkeepers as well.
That goes back to the relationship and the conversations you need to have with your coaches about creating that pathway, and I know how important
absolutely
that is to you, Steve.
We speak all the time. Goalkeeping is a crucial position. Yeah. I knew Craig Gordon would, when he made the decision to leave Celtic, it was a big decision, and I knew doing that, part of his thinking was that he could get back involved with the national team, so he's done that. But as Stevie says, young Robbie came up, trained well with it. He's probably had a little dip in form since the last camp, but that happens with young goalkeepers, it happens with young players. And it's now for Robbie to get himself back on his A game, get back in the Livingston team, and he can be called up in the future as well. Yeah. And it's important that you show the young players as well that there is a pathway up. And it might be that one of the camps, maybe next month or next March, the next camp that we we bring a young goalkeeper back up, even if it means that Woodsy's got to do a bit of overtime and get drills for four goalkeepers instead of three. Yeah. You know, but it's something that you have to show. You have to give them the chance to develop as players. And I think important for me is that the younger ones come up and get a taste of the environment of being with the senior boys, so that when you do call them up and you say, right, you're playing,
yeah,
they're not overawed. They're already comfortable in the environment. I think that's important, not just for the goalkeepers, but the outfield players as well.
Stephen, you've got obviously major tournament experience from your playing days with Ireland, and that, do you think that will play a big role for you personally in terms of a coaching side of things as well, as we push towards getting back to that sort of level with the national team?
Maybe in terms of speaking to players and letting them know what it means a little bit, you know, because when I was playing in it, it passes you by. I wasn't in it and enjoying it. I thought I'd be playing in the next Euros in 2 years, the next World Cup in four, and it was a once in a lifetime, still the highlight of my career to this day. So you can't be too, you know, blasé about these type of moments. Got to, you know, leave no regrets, you know, give everything, because it might be a once in a lifetime moment for some of them, especially the senior boys. But I think we all know what it means, and those are hopefully the little bits that I can drip in here and there. But to be honest, the way that the squad's grown over the last few camps, it's getting that way anyway. We're just hoping that this is the last, you know, the final step before we finally get across the line.
Of course. Steve, I know you often get asked about this, and I'll come to you on this, John, but Steve will constantly get asked about motivating your players by people in the media perhaps, but whenever we speak to players, it seems like that's not that hard a task when you're dealing with players at this sort of level and going into games of this magnitude. And as a group, do you see a really good sort of connection with everybody from the coaching staff to the players?
Yeah, I think it's because from day one the manager's been honest and straight with them.
Yeah.
And when you're honest and straight with your players, whatever you say, they'll listen to. So that motivates them themselves. It's up to them once they get the opportunity. I mean, I remember, I think it was the first camp, and the manager said, everybody will get an opportunity over the 2 to 3 games. And they did almost. You know, so when you're saying that to your players, they start believing in what you're saying. And that is a motivation within itself to try and get themselves in the team, because if they get themselves in the team, they've got a chance of playing and staying in the team. And Steve obviously give everybody that opportunity. So, yeah. Listen, if you believe in something, you'll run through brick walls for them.
Brilliant, yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah, exactly. Well, guys, as we start to wind up, you mentioned right at the start of this, Steve, that obviously when you are away with the national team, it can be a long period of time. It's going to be a long trip we're due for. What do you guys do when you're not working to pass the time? Who's getting the coffees in? Who's running all the errands here?
I've got to be honest, for 10 days I don't stop working.
Yeah.
I'm always watching the video of the game, the next opponent. I think earlier on today I was asked a question about what you're going to do if you wake up and you've won on the Friday. I said, well, I'm going to think about the Slovakia game, you know, because that's the next game after that. So hopefully we can beat Serbia on the Thursday night, and then on the Friday you're straight away on to the next game because you play on the Sunday, so you have to be prepared for that. Yeah. We want to win that. As John says, we want to qualify for the A section of the Nations League the next time. We don't want to be in the B section. We want to be the top of the group. So always working. So in camp, not a lot of time to relax, but between camps, obviously I've got a little bit more time than the boys that are working full time.
Yeah. I was going to say, because like you say, you're looking at the next opposition so quickly. Of course, from you guys as the extended coaching staff, the analysis team, everybody else, the physios, the hard work that goes on as a collective is massive, isn't it, Stephen? And it's such a quick turnaround game coming
especially
up.
Especially at the moment, yeah. You know, Jonesy with the, you know, the apps, the contact with players when they're all arriving, and Frank and sports science and medical. It's a big, big operation. The minutes, you know, keeping us updated on the players and the minutes they're playing and injuries, and so much goes into it that is.
And you've got a little bit less to do now because John's come in and taken over a bit with the analysis and helped Alex. And
yeah, but I think the analyst is getting a little bit fed up of John. I think he might.
He needs to come back to
it. I was doing a little bit with him, then John came in and
overwhelmed.
Took charge a little bit. But I think he wants to. I think he's having a hard time with John. He wants to come back. But no, they've been great, and that's such a vital tool, you know, the system that we've got, that you can get information sent out to players and shared between ourselves.
I think it's not just about looking at the players for Scotland, and I think it's about educating yourself as well. I think on a serious note, because I can't be serious at times, on a serious note, I actually watch games from an analytical point of view. You know, how if I was playing against Man City, how could I break them down? And I make notes. And I've done it all my career, and I won't stop doing it because you can never stop learning. And I'll watch foreign games, and I'll watch how certain teams press, because we might have to come up against a system that we've never come up against before and play a certain way. So you're always educating yourself when you've got that downtime in between holidays and playing golf.
You see why I brought him in.
You're absolutely see. How do you even follow up from that, I guess?
That's part two of his job application.
Well, John touches on that work where he's constantly in the, when he's not on holiday, he is in that working zone and is constantly analysing opposition. From your side of things, Stevie, what's it like when you're watching games when you're not working, of course, if you ever get the chance?
Well, when we're here, I think my wife thinks I'm on holiday, but that's only because she doesn't see me every day. But the reality of it is that we're genuinely trying to impart as much information as we possibly can to the players in a very short space of time. So that means watching lots and lots of games, lots of goals scored by the opposition, how the opposition strikers play, all that kind of stuff. And then you've got to transfer that into your training, which you've only got a certain amount of days, and you've only got a certain amount of actual preparation that you can do that in. And we've all got to get together and get on the same page and make sure that everybody knows what the threats are. We've spoken about that already last night, you know. And then as soon as one game gets put to bed, the next one's taking out the wrapper and you're starting again. So it's 10 days of intense work. But it's enjoyable because the environment's good, because, like you say, the people behind the scenes work so hard to make everything as easy for you as they possibly can. But we've got a good group of staff here, so it's been great.
Well, I think that's a true point to make there, Steve, as we wrap up.
No, I think we need to wrap it up now because we've got to go and do some more video work.
Exactly, yeah.
And get ready for Serbia.
Yeah, of course, I know. But on a final note, gentlemen, I would just like to say all the very best for such an important week ahead and beyond, of course. And thank you very much for joining me, Stephen, Stevie, John. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.